let me in.
Shiba shiba.
I wanna be closer to you.
Shiba shiba.
Open up your soul.
Shiba shiba.
Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And summer is fast upon us and there's so much to enjoy. A lot of you are going to have kids who are out for the summer and you're going to be casting around for fun stuff to do for all ages. And there is fun stuff to do. There's a circus called Circus Bella and it's been around for a while and they're currently doing a fabulous show called Wow. And here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Artistic Director of Circus Bella, Abigail Munn. Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How's it going?
It's great. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you.
I love talking to you about Circus Bella.
Well, for our listening audience who are maybe hearing about Circus Bella for the first time, why don't you give us a little bit of the background?
So, Circus Bella, we're a San Francisco-based circus, nonprofit circus organization. And in the summer, we do free shows in parks and open spaces throughout the Bay Area. And the company was founded in 2008, and I'm really excited. We had a year off because of the pandemic and all of that, but I'm really excited. This is our 15th annual Circus in the Park season.
So tell me a little, I want to know about the idea, like, let's put on a circus, because I maintain that people don't, when people do stuff because they don't know just how much hard work it is, and that's how stuff gets done. You have to be kind of young and dumb to do innovative things. So what was the impetus?
I had no idea what I was getting into. But so I started the company in 2008 with my close friend David Hunt, and I had been touring on a very traditional circus a couple summers before, all across the United States. And I grew up in San Francisco, and I remembered the Pickle Family Circus, which was this really amazing outdoor performance, this outdoor circus company that was a beloved San Francisco tradition. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, David and I was a trapeze artist at the time, and David was a slack rope walker, and we were like, let's bring this feeling back to the Bay Area. So we had an opportunity to do a show up in the wine country, which was kind of the way that we had a little small budget to kind of create something. And then we were like, well, okay, let's do this in the city. So we did this renegade performance in 2008 in Dolores Park.
Oh, okay.
and then somebody, Linda Lucero at Yerba Buena Garden, saw us at that show and gave us our first opportunity to do a full-length show at the Gardens. And we're still doing it.
I love that it was a guerrilla production. Like, we're just going to put it on and let's see if anyone notices.
Well, I don't even remember exactly what the event was, but there was this free, like, creative artists in the park event. And we didn't use the word, we were like, well, we won't tell them exactly what we're doing because circus makes people nervous or whatever. And we're just going to do this.
Okay.
We're just going to make this show. And that was the first one, and then we just kept going.
I love it. So when you were first doing it, did it feel like work, or do you only look back at it and go, wow, that was a lot of work?
It's a lot of work. It always was a lot of work. It's still a lot of work. But I'll say that what I love about the work is no day is the same. No challenge. I find that every challenge is new, different, and interesting, or not always interesting, but mostly. You know, I'm a lifelong learner, so I'm always, I don't know, I just love I love the work. And you know, there is a lot of administrative things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, but then it's the magic of creating art with, you know, our company's incredible, and mm-hmm. we're like a family at this point. So it's like creating art and beautiful things with people you care about very much and very talented people you care about very much. So
this year it's called Wow! So why is it called Wow! With an exclamation point.
Yeah. I just think we need a little wow in our lives right now.
You know, we always
everything,
do.
You know, and I feel that circus is one of these amazing art forms mm-hmm. that we can all agree that, well, maybe not everybody, and I don't want to speak for anybody, but circus is a unifying art form. Everybody, you know, I think there's something in it for most people, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter. You know, there's circus is one of these amazing art forms that there's different kinds of circus in throughout different cultures all throughout the world. You know, you can go to China, you can go to West Africa, you can go to United States, Canada, Europe, everywhere. Everyone has these different incredible traditions of circus, very different. But it's this amazing art form that really, I think, kind of transcends transcends a lot of cultures, which mm-hmm. is very cool. And then on top of it, we have a live band at all our shows. So if you don't like circus, no big deal. Just close your eyes and listen to the band.
So who named it Wow this time around?
I named it Wow.
Okay.
We were going through a bunch of names, and it just, I don't know, this is this name that I've been wanting to create a show called Wow for a long time. I have this like list of potential show names and uh-huh. show kind of ideas and concepts. And this one had been kind of on the back burner for a little while. And this just felt like the year for Wow.
I think that's good because kids, you know, I like to say, wow, you know, the exclamation point gives everyone the permission to really lean into saying, wow. So, mm-hmm. so this show is for children of all ages, you say. So
that's right.
So tell me a little bit about the cast. What kinds of things will we see? Because I came to the last one, and there was like a like one of those. What are the people who do high stuff, but they're with the cloth?
Oh, Ariel.
Yeah.
So you would have seen Veronica on.
Yeah.
So she'll be back, and so this winter we're planning to do that winter show that you saw in the tent downtown, working uh-huh. on that right now. But this show, you're going to see Ariel Hoop. So that's Dora Galilea, and she's twirling around in a hoop.
Uh-huh.
We have Elise Hing, who's doing, who's been our contortionist for the last couple of years, but we've really changed her act this summer. She has all new music. It's a waltz. It's beautiful. Ori Quesada, he flips bowls onto his head from a roll of bola. So he's on a table,
uh-huh.
a cylinder on the table. He puts a long plank on the cylinder, and then he puts like bowls and spoons and all sorts of things, and he flips them onto his head.
Wow. I've seen him. Yeah.
Wow.
I find all of those acts very stressful to watch. Entertaining, but very stressful because I'm always worried they're going to drop it. Like me, I'm just like, oh, no. Oh, they did it.
Ori knows how, and we were talking about it. Last weekend we were in Laguna Beach and we were kind of hanging out after the show and we were talking with the band and Ori, and we were all like, oh my God, that piece, the way the band creates the tension. I mean, it is. I know. I watch that act every time I'm biting my nails off.
Mm-hmm,
the whole time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have this amazing guest artist this summer, Joel Hertzfeld, mm-hmm. and he's from Boston, and he's a hand balancer, and he's incredible. He just is so comfortable on his hands.
Okay,
I can't even explain it. You just have to see it. It's just he's dancing on his hands. It's just beautiful, and his sense of balance and watching him move is incredible.
So you're doing this show. Like, I know it's already started. How long is it going to be running, and where can people see it?
So we will be running through July. I always get my little card out. July 20th.
Okay.
So it'll be weekends. We'll be at Yerba Buena Gardens Festival this weekend. We'll be there Friday, June 21st, 12 o'clock, and then Saturday, the 22nd at 12 o'clock and 2:15.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to be up in Reno, and then we'll be in Oakland, and then we'll be back in San Francisco both July 14th and July 20th.
So for our East Bay people, when and what time and where for Oakland?
So we'll be at Lincoln Square Park in Oakland on Thursday, July 11th. It's a great show.
Now, how many kids do you get coming up afterwards who want to join your circus?
We get adults, kids, everybody wants to join the circus after coming to see our show. There's always a line of kids, and we always take all our performers are usually out saying hello to the audience. Uh-huh. So we're definitely we're very approachable.
Now, have you ever had someone who like came up and said, I want to join the circus, and then later on they actually did?
I like that. We've had people. That's a really good question. That's what happened to me.
Ah.
So I know of one. I don't know. I mean, I think we have. That's a really good question. I'm going to do some research and come back next time on your show.
Yeah.
Ask me the question again. I'll have more research. But I think so. I mean, I hope that. You know, we have had people, a lot of our shows, we partner with Prescott Circus Theater, and they're this youth performance troupe based out of West Oakland. They're incredible. They'll be with us on this weekend at Yerba Buena Gardens.
Okay.
And we have had students from that program then come join us in interns and then go on to have professional circus careers of their own.
That's great. Well, now you've opened up a can of worms, because now it's like, I know that there are people out there who are like, I want to join the circus and I want to join the circus right now. And now you've just dangled the possibility of doing some sort of program. So tell me a little bit about this Prescott thing.
So Prescott Circus Theater, they're incredible. You should go to their website right now. Everybody who's on the radio, go pick up it on, pull it up on your phone, prescottcircus.org. And they're based out of West Oakland, and they perform at most of our shows. They perform a stilt dance.
Okay.
And it's very inspiring. It's beautiful, you know, seeing kind of youth on top of the world.
Nice. So for our listening audience, would they have to go through Prescott if they wanted to intern with you, or
question. So usually, what I would say is most of the kids in our show are actually kids of performers in the show. But we have occasionally had interns, and usually they have to call me, and you have to be 16.
Okay. Well, then we'll go back to, you're playing through July 20th. So once again, for our listening audience, when and where for Wow by Circus Bella.
So you want to go to Yerba Buena Gardens Festival, mm-hmm. Which is at the Yerba Buena Gardens, which is on Mission between
third and fourth. Yes, third and fourth.
Did I do that right?
Yes, you did.
And third and fourth. Just show up a little early. Bring a picnic blanket. Bring a picnic. Grab someone youthful of spirit. And we'll be there on Friday at 12 o'clock and Saturday at 12 and 2:15, and I do recommend getting there a little early, A, to get a good seat and to come see the stars of Prescott Circus Theater perform.
And if people want to find out more about what Circus Bella is doing, do you have an online presence?
We sure do. You can go to circusbella.org and learn about all our shows. We have our summer show running now through July, and then I'm hoping that we're going to be doing them in the final stages of confirming our tent show.
Okay.
Next winter at the East Cut.
All right. Well, Abigail Munn, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
I love being on the show. Thank you so much. You always ask great questions.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. People of Earth, this is your opportunity, Circus Bella, and Wow! So you can visit their website. You can go down to Yerba Buena Gardens and just have a blast. Oh, and I believe it... costs nothing, correct?
It's free.
There you go.
It's free.
There you go. Bury the lead. All right. Okay. So once again, Abigail Munn, thank you for being on the show.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's listen to some Yoko Kanno's Seatbelts. This is amusement park. It's Yoko Kanno and the Seatbelts, an amusement park from the Cowboy Bebop CD box set. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, a lot of you who are my longtime listeners may know that a long time ago, well, not that long ago, but long for me because I have a terrible memory, a long time ago, we got to hear about Hick, a love story about Eleanor Roosevelt and her buddy, companion, longtime love, Hick. And here to talk about it is Terry Baum in Hick, a love story. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you here.
Always love to come and talk with you.
So tell me, for a listening audience who wasn't here for the first run, tell me a little bit about this person, Hick, and what it was about this story that made you want to create a show around it.
Well, Lorena Hickok was the most well-known woman journalist of the late 20s and early 30s. Mm-hmm. She was the first woman to get a byline on the front page of the New York Times.
Really?
And the most highly paid woman in journalism at that time.
Okay.
And she was assigned to cover Eleanor Roosevelt, the first time FDR ran for president in 1932, and they fell in love. Now, it's not surprising that Hick fell for Eleanor. She was a big butch dyke. Everybody described her as masculine.
Okay.
She was definitely a lesbian and had romances before and long-term relationships.
Hick or Eleanor?
Hick.
Okay.
Hick was 39. Yeah. But Eleanor, this was their first time with a woman, although she had many lesbian friends. And the documentary evidence of the relationship is in the 2,336 letters that Eleanor wrote to Hick.
Wow.
During the 30 years of their love affair and then friendship. The love affair didn't last forever, but Hick was an essential person in Eleanor's life until she died, until
wow.
Eleanor died.
Now, I know from, I forget where I read this. It was in probably one of my political books. They talked about FDR and Eleanor, and he had his
yeah.
side piece, and she
yeah.
had Hick, and that there were Secret Service that whose job it was just to make sure that no one was in the same room at the same time because he didn't like Hick.
No, that's so untrue.
Okay, tell me more.
He liked Hick very much.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, she lived in the White House all of World War II. Now, this was after she and Eleanor were lovers.
Okay.
But she was still the rock,
okay.
really, of Eleanor's life. And Eleanor was so incredibly busy during the war because FDR could not travel to rally the country or anything like that. So Eleanor was – the only way she could have a friend was if Hick lived in the White House. And so when Eleanor came back from her travels late at night, she would wake Hick up and sit on the edge of her bed and tell her, you know, what she'd been doing. And then they'd have breakfast together. Then Eleanor would be off again.
Okay.
So, and I never read anything about FDR ever disliking Hick. She was a character,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was a rough, tough, drink-em-under-the-table reporter, and she was clearly a butch woman
mm-hmm.
because everyone described her as masculine. And he liked her quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that because then my sources are incorrect, and I like it.
I've never read that, actually. That he didn't, and all of, like, when she was living in the White House, she didn't want to take any energy from him
uh-huh.
at all because she felt it was so important that he had every drop of energy that he could muster. So, and he liked to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
So if the elevator opened and he was on it, she wouldn't get on it. Because she didn't want to take his energy because he would chat with her. That was his feeling about her. And at one point, she turned off her air conditioner and her room was flooded. She had the room across the aisle from across the hall from Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to dinner and he was making jokes about it. You know, she felt totally humiliated that she had flooded the White House because she turned off a switch. But he thought it was very funny.
Okay.
He always was kind to her. Always,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
As far as I know. Yeah.
So did the relationship between Eleanor and Lorena, when did it start and when did it end?
Well, okay. So
the romantic portion.
It began during the campaign, the 1932 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the first letter that we have that survived is in 1933, a few days after the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
They used to wait till March to inaugurate the president. They changed that.
Okay.
Under FDR, they had to amend the Constitution. So we have a January inauguration, as you know. So we don't really have any dates, but by that time, they were in love. And something had happened where Eleanor had hurt Hick, hurt Hick's feelings. So the first letter we have is her apologizing and saying, you know, how much she loves her and all that. And a lot of the letters are physical. You know, the feel of your hair. Mm. I want to wrap my arms around you. I long for you. Many, many things, letters speak of her physical desire for Hick.
So when were these letters introduced to the public? Because this
okay, well, they were introduced. Hick died in 1968, and part of my play is about her struggle about whether to burn the letters or hand them over to the National Archive.
Okay.
The first scene and the last scene of the play take place in 1968 when she's dealing with this issue. The rest of the play in the middle is all it takes place in 1932 through 35.
Okay.
When they were actually lovers.
Okay.
So the Hick did decide to give everything all – now, not all the 2,336 letters are love letters, you know, because she – Eleanor used to write Hick about everything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot –
because they were buds.
Yeah, very much so, very much so, until Eleanor died, for sure. But Hick gave the letters to the National Archive, but actually the FDR Presidential Library, which is part of it, before she died. But the stipulation was they could not, none of the boxes could be opened for 10 years.
Why?
Well, it seems to me that she might have been hoping that attitudes towards a lesbian relationship might have changed in 10 years. I don't know why, but that was the fact of it. Because there was some gay stuff happening by 1968.
Okay.
I think Stonewall was 1969, but there were gay bookstores and things like that. So she could have some feeling that this movement would make people more open 10 years from 1968 than in 1968. So a few days after the 10 years had expired, a woman came into the FDR Library. She was doing research on a biography of Eleanor for young people. And so they said, well, there's 18 boxes from a friend of Eleanor's that just became available 3 days ago. Why don't you look at it? So she looked at it. She read the letters. Doris, oh gosh, I can't remember her last
name. It'll come to you.
No, it won't. I'm 77. It won't come. It might. Okay. Anyhow.
So Doris is
looking
at letters.
So Doris came and she read the letters. So she went to the head of the library and urged him to burn them.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And we know this because she decided because he wouldn't burn them that she would write the biography of Hick. And she says in her intro that she tried to get the she's not ashamed of it. You know, she's proud that she tried to get the letters burned. But then she decided, well, somebody's going to write the biography. Might as well be me.
Wow.
So this homophobic woman
right.
wrote the biography and says things like, this letter doesn't mean what you think it means.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or you have to understand these women were born – both of these women were born when Queen Victoria was still alive, as if there could be no lesbian relationships until Queen Victoria died.
Sure,
you know?
sure. Or that people just talk differently then.
Yeah, right.
When she said, I want to caress
so
your body, she meant
to hold you close. I ache to hold you close. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I have very close friends, but
I don't ache to hold anybody close.
I have never ached to hold them close.
Wow.
So
was there any pushback from, say, Eleanor Roosevelt's descendants?
No, not at all. The estate, anybody can read these letters, but to use them in a play or any other way, you have to get permission of the estate.
Okay.
So I applied, the play first opened in 2004, And at that point, it was a relative who was handling it. And she asked me, what is your opinion of their relationship? And I said, they were in love. Eleanor fell out of love. Hick never did. And they became friends for the rest of Eleanor's life. She gave me permission. Then, after Ken Burns did his documentary on their personal lives, the rights became a very big deal and were handed over to Literary Agency.
Okay.
And they asked me, they wanted to read the script. Well, of course, the script goes further than the letters. I show them. It's just me. It's a solo show. But I describe from Hick's viewpoint them actually going to bed together and having sex and, you know, things that there are not documented in the letters. So I was quite worried when I had to send them the script. But they wrote me back that they gave me permission. And, of course, I had to pay them royalties for performances. And I was legally obligated to, in any publicity, to say, based on Eleanor Roosevelt's letters to Lorena Hickok, which is something that I would never have dared put on a poster myself.
But that's awesome.
But now I was legally obligated to
do it. It's like, this is real, people. It's not just me thinking this stuff up.
Exactly. That's really, really important to me, the documentary aspect, because I read many of Eleanor's letters, and all of it is written by Eleanor. All of it, every single word.
Very cool. Now, you before you came on, we talked and you said that the show has changed from a little bit from when you first did it back in maybe 2014 or 2015 to now. So what would you say were some significant changes that you made?
Well, one of the significant changes is we had actually a wonderful actress, Paola Barish, reading the letters of Eleanor's. I thought she was fantastic. But then there was one time I had a Zoom performance, so we couldn't have a tape. You know, you can't do that on Zoom. So I had to read the letters myself. And Carolyn Myers, who is my lifelong collaborator and who was the director, this Zoom performance, she said, it's better when you, as Hick, read the letters. Even though I feel Paula's performance of Eleanor is just so perfect. So that's one big change.
So it's become one person now.
Yes, it was always one person, but we had a tape. Yeah, but now we don't. So it's just my voice. That's all you hear. Except we have a soundtrack with music from the time, which is very nice because it creates the feeling of the time. Of course, great music from the 20s and 30s. So so that's one thing. Another thing is I've written, it's much more explicit. Hick says we were lovers. She didn't say that back then. She talks about lying with in bed with Eleanor with their bodies against each other, and waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to believe what's happened, you know. I also talk in the very beginning about how unbelievable this story is. I mean, Hick talks about it because it's an unbelievable story.
It's the First Lady of the United States,
Not only the First Lady, the most famous, the woman who broke the mold for First Ladies, you know, and has never been equaled as an activist, you know, and an influence in the world. So I have Hick in the very first scene talking about how unbelievable it is. I think that's helpful to the audience because a lot of people say, well, did they really that, you know?
Yep, they sure did.
Yeah, the evidence is there, and a lot of the incidents are from Hick's memoirs. She did write a memoir of her friendship with Eleanor, of course not saying anything about the sex. But the incidents, like, in fact, okay, this is one of them. I'm sure people don't think the interview in the locked bathroom is real. This was an interview that Hick did immediately after FDR's inauguration in the morning, and it was the first time a first lady had ever been interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Hick was instrumental in getting Eleanor's voice out to the public and mentoring her about how to get her vision mm-hmm. of just a just society out there. So they actually, and after the inauguration is very hectic in the White House, because until the inauguration, the previous guy is president and they can't move anything out.
Got
until
it.
Until the inauguration is over.
Okay.
You know? So they have to move everything in one day. It's insane.
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to do this interview, and then with all this stuff going on, and then Eleanor says, "We're going to do it in the locked bath. We're going to go into one of the bathrooms and lock the door because there's just too much going on." So in my play, they do that, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of fun.
Okay.
Behind the locked doors, because uh-huh. in my opinion, when people go into a bathroom and lock the door, there's something going on behind
right,
that door.
Right, sure, sure.
Well, it's documented by Hick that they did this. It is documented by one of the White House servants who wrote a book
uh-huh.
about her life being one of the main people serving in the White House, an African-American woman. That it's also documented in that her book.
Wow.
And she said the servants did not approve of it. I mean, the servants like their bosses to keep up a certain standard
sure.
of behavior.
Sure, sure,
and
sure.
And they felt that this fell below this woman, and she was very clear about it. That wasn't an appropriate thing to do. So I'm sure people think I made it up, but I didn't.
Well, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
Yes, yes. Well, in this case.
So yeah. We're almost out of time. So let's talk about when and where for Hick, A Love Story.
Yes, it is the next. It's Sunday at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. at the Marsh mm-hmm. in the
San
Mission.
San Francisco? Okay, yes.
In San Francisco.
Okay.
Through July 14th.
Okay, so yeah. You have several Sundays to see it.
I got four more performances.
Nice,
yes.
Nice. So if people want to find out more about the show or more about the things that you're doing, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they could find out about the show and buy tickets at themarsh.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. Or there is a telephone number, 415-282-3055.
Okay.
And they can find out more about me mm-hmm. and my theater and lots more about Lorena Hickok and Eleanor at liliththeater.com, which is LILITHTHEATER.com. So those are the two places.
All right. Well, Terry Baum, it's always a pleasure.
Yes.
The subject is fascinating, and I hope I get to come to the show again
yeah,
and see the.
Yeah, I hope you do. I feel my act. I have new directors, and it's just. They're very sophisticated people. They worked their whole life in theater, went to Yale Drama School. They actually are more sophisticated than me. You know, my content is always sophisticated, but my style not necessarily. So I've got these wonderful directors, and it's the show so much better. People say it's much more emotional than it was before.
Well, once again, Terry Baum, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Marilyn.
People of Earth, this is your opportunity. It's called Hick, A Love Story. And you know what? Since it's about the Roosevelt, I'm going to play a song called Why I Like Roosevelt.
Oh.
Why'd you like Roosevelt? Well, no kin. Why'd you like Roosevelt? Well, no kin. Why'd you like Roosevelt? Well, no kin. Lord God Almighty was a poor man's friend. Year of 1945, a good president laid down and died. I knew how all of the poor people felt. They received the message, we lost Roosevelt. In his life, there were all indications that Warm Spring, Georgia, he would see salvation. Listen, friend, don't you rush. Elizabeth, she ran off, she grabbed a brush, dipped it in water and began to paint. Looked at the president and began to think. She never painted a picture for him at night. Knew that the president didn't look right. The time of day, it was 12 o'clock. Tell me that Elizabeth had to stop. Great God Almighty, she started too late. That's why they call this that unfinished portrait. A little bit later, about 1:30, he had a cerebral hemorrhage and the world looked muddy. They called Atlanta, Washington too, like zigzag lightning, the call went through. They called long distance to notify his wife. Dr. Bruin said he died at 3:35. Great God Almighty, wasn't no bells to tone. Less than 30 minutes, the world was in moan. And I cried about Roosevelt. I cried about Roosevelt. I cried about Roosevelt. Well, Roosevelt's administration, Congress assembled. First time in history, appointed a Negro general. General Benjamin O. Davis, I'm trying to relate. First Negro general of the United States. And after Dorie Miller had shown his skill, they kept ascending him to see until he got killed. Roosevelt said, I'll back the attack. Pointed a Negro captain over white and black. This qualified man was Hugh Mulzack. Racial prejudice he tried to rule out. Invited Negro leaders into the White House. He advocated the fair practice of labor to let the poor man know he was our emancipator. Made Madam Bethune a lady of the land. He made part of his will to Mr. Pretty Man. He endorsed inventions of Dr. Washington Carver. This is why that I said he was an earthly father, cause he took my feet out of the mire clay. Haven't had to look back at the WPA. That is why I like Roosevelt. Why I like Roosevelt. Why I like Roosevelt. Well, Hoover's administration, Congress assembled. All of the poor folk began to tremble. The rich would ride in the automobile.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That's Willie Eason and Why I Like Roosevelt from Blues with a Message. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, there's a fabulous musician in town called Dreamy Phipps of Dreamy Phipps and the Bad Cats Band. Yep. I'd like to welcome you. Hello, Dreamy.
Hello, Marilyn. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the show today. Now, tell me, Dreeny, how long have you been a musician?
I've been in music, I would say, over 15 years. I've always loved music. My parents always played good music in the house, so my dad played musical instruments. So it's always been kind of part of my life, but the band thing is about 15 years for me at this point.
So when you told, since you said there was always music and your dad played instruments, were they thrilled that you were like, I'm going to have a band? Or were they like, sweetie, there's no money in it?
They just were like, oh, man.
Okay.
But yeah, they were happy for me. They're my biggest cheerleaders. Aww. They always want to hear about how the gigs go. And mm-hmm. all of that kind of good stuff. So I always keep them informed where I'm playing, when I'm playing.
So I'm going to assume that your parents are listening to this, and this is your ability to tell, keep them informed. So Dreeny and the Bad Cats. Well, first of all, how did you guys form?
So we
found each other, first I found my guitar player, Ed Elizalde, and we were thinking, oh, we need keyboards. And he said, I know a guy, and that's Rick Perez, who mm-hmm. does keyboards and vocals. And we needed a good bass player, because you got to have the stank, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. You know, you got to have that bass line and a good drummer. So we just kind of formed and came up with some great tunes. And they're kind of unexpected covers. We do covers. And then we bring a dynamic vision to the music. So and dynamic interpretations for our audiences. So, you know, they're not the typical songs that you hear in the bars or, you know, when you go out for live music. We kind of go a little deep, but not always so deep. But there's songs that you recognize and you're like, oh, I haven't heard that song in 20 years.
Right.
Oh, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm looking at your website on Artists We Cover, and you cover the Staple Singers and ZZ Top. And
yes.
I'm just like, that's a nice, that's and the Bone Shakers, and the, you're you have a pretty far reaching, I guess you cast your net wide.
Yes, we do. And because we want to make sure that we're covering old school R&B soul, but we also like swampy funk. which kind of includes Tab Benoit and mm-hmm. Matt Anderson, Beans and Fatback, Little Feet, you know, guys like that. And then, of course, we're, you know, Fly in the Family Stone, old school, Wilson Pickett, and some blues, you know, Eric Clapton, Etta James, Susan Tedeschi. So yeah, we kind of do some of everything. But again, there's songs that you're going, I love this song. When we do some instrumentals, we've got some fabulous musicians. I've got fabulous musicians behind me.
Who are they?
So I mentioned Rick Perez, who does keyboards and vocals. Ed Elizalde, who does guitar, and he also plays, you know, slide guitar. And John Brazelton, who's on bass. And right now we have alternating drummers because of scheduling. So our drummer, Kelly Allen, and Bill Swanson. So that's what we got on a lineup. It just kind of depends on, you know, what dates we have booked.
Well, speaking of dates, I know you've got some dates coming up, so let our listening audience hear it.
Well, if you're not doing anything and you want to go for a wonderful trip over to the coast, there's San Gregorio General Store on Saturday, June 22nd from 2 to 5.
Uh-huh.
Go, you know, get some sand on your feet and then come on over to the General Store. They have food and a full bar and a beautiful patio to sit out and listen to the live music.
Mm-hmm.
On June 29th, from 6 to 9, we'll be at San Pedro Market Square in San Jose. On Friday, July 19th, from 6 to 9, we'll be at the ECR Pub in Belmont. And on Saturday, August 10th, from 5 to 8, we'll be at Capello's Barbecue in Redwood City, another great outdoor patio venue. Mm-hmm. That's great. So people come and see us and have some barbecue and have some good food and some drinks and all that kind of good stuff and have a good time.
Well, I gotta say, and when I've done like road trips and stuff and we stop someplace and there just happens to be outdoor live music, it's always it's just a welcome surprise. It's like, oh, there's musicians here. This is great. And then you put barbecue on top of that. I'm there.
I know. Well, come on out and see us.
So
we would love to have you come. And definitely, you know, the venues we play, the folks are friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Like out at San Pedro Market Square, mm-hmm. there's all different kinds of food. And so you can go from Japanese food, pizza, you know, all the different kinds of food. And then you can get beer, or they have full bars, and then you can sit outside and groove to the music. So it's great.
All right. Well, once again, give those dates and times and locations for our listening audience.
Okay. So this coming Saturday, June 22nd, mm-hmm. from 2 to 5, we'll be at San Gregorio General Store.
Okay.
That's on the coast.
Okay.
On Saturday, June 29th, from 6 to 9, we'll be at San Pedro Market Square. That's in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, July 19th, from 6 to 9, we'll be at ECR Pub in Belmont. And ECR is initials for El Camino Real, but that's what they go by, ECR Pub
okay.
in Belmont. And then on Saturday, August 10th, from 5 to 8, we'll be at Capello's Barbecue in Redwood City.
Excellent. Now, when do you guys think you're going to actually get to San Francisco?
We would love to get to San Francisco. I basically try to put out feelers to some of the venues, and sometimes you have to walk in and introduce yourself, but you don't know when the booking people are there.
It's
a little difficult, but we would love to come into the studio if somebody invited us to say we knew a DJ who wanted to invite us into the studio. We would love to come in and play a couple of songs.
Well, that would be great.
I'm sorry?
I said that would be great. You know what? We'll do this offline, but yeah, you could be like, maybe one day you can come in and be the house band. And you know what else? The San Francisco Public Library, they often will have events where they have live musicians. And then I know there's a place called the New Farm, and they do stuff with people, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, there's so, you know, get on over here.
We would love to.
All
we
right.
would love to. We've been in Sunol and Pleasanton and Livermore and some Redwood City places. So, you know, we try to get around, and we would love to get to Dublin and more Livermore
mm-hmm.
Venues, as well as San Francisco, for sure. We would love to come to San Francisco.
Excellent.
I mean, who doesn't want to be by the bay, you know?
Exactly. Well, and if people want to find out more about what you guys are doing, where can they find you online?
Okay, so we have social media. We have a website, DreenyTheBadCatsBand.com. And I might need to mention that Cats is with a K mm-hmm. instead of with a C.
Okay.
That seemed cooler, so that's why we did that, right? and then there's we're on Instagram, hashtag DreenyTheBadCatsBand. And then you can find us on Facebook, Dreeny and the Bad Cats Band. We have a page there. And, yeah, so, and of course, if you contact me via the website, you can send an email, and I try to answer the emails as quickly as possible. And of course, we do private parties, so if anybody needs a private party band, we're probably your band. Okay.
All
so
right.
We played a few private parties. And yeah, so we're easily found.
Okay.
So look for us.
All right. Well, Dreeny Phipps, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And we'll go back and forth about you guys playing a set for us one day.
That would be great. Thank you so much, Marilyn.
You're welcome.
And I have to say that KPOO FM 89.5. I didn't know that much about it, but my friend Ty Wright and his sister Jeanette Wright, they got me in contact with you guys, and it's been fabulous. I've never been on the radio before, so
aww.
I don't know if you realize that, but
nope.
Anyway,
wouldn't have known at all.
If it wasn't for them, like it's been a great blessing for me to have found you guys, and I love what you all do. You got great selection of DJs, and you know, listening to your show this morning. So So that, you know, it's great. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. This is community radio and your community. Yep. So we wanted to have you on. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Marilyn.
All right. Okay. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to check out Dreamy and the Bad Cats Band. It's just about time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford. He'll be pleasuring your ear hole. So I'm going to leave you with some Dreamy and the Bad Cats Band. This is Sing a Simple Song and Thank You. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
Talking, 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 talking.